Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Yep, still tuned to Heart to Heart, the Thursday edition of Heart to Heart with myself, Mpho Moko, standing in for Madame Mpho Putini. On the Radio Pulpit WhatsApp line, Cookie says, good afternoon to you, my dear Mpho. Good afternoon, dear one, Cookie. Looking forward to an awesome, blessed time together. Oh, thank you, my sis. I appreciate it. And she says, please send a shout out to my other dear Mpho, referring to Mpho Putini. I really was blessed with her song. Congratulations and very well done. Would love to listen to more of her songs over the airways. Sending love and hugs from Cookie Stephen in a box bag. You know what, Cookie? We definitely do play Mpho Putini's songs, right? Randomly during the day, you probably might miss it because you don't know some of her songs, but we do. She has, you know, many songs. I'll send you a message. I'll respond to your WhatsApp message so that I can give you some of her song titles. But Mpho Putini has been doing music for some time. And I'm glad you enjoyed that song. I'll pass the message to her as well. And right now we're connecting with my first guest this afternoon, Dr. Julius. We're speaking on the topic of don't give up. Dr. Julius, welcome to Heart to Heart. And you are connecting with myself, Mpho Moko, and I'm standing in for Mpho Putini. I hope you don't get confused because both of us are Mpho, but I think you get it.
Yeah. I know there are two Mpho's, definitely. It's a blessing having you as well.
How are you doing this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing very well. I always wish to be in the studio. I got some commitments out of university, so we definitely can still have conversation.
All right. Now, today we're talking on the topic of don't give up. And sure, once I saw this, I got excited because I think many people, we are going through so much. Many of us are going through so much. Things are not working out and we feel like giving up. I, for one, at times, I feel like giving up. I know that is not an option, right? But there's so much happening, but we feel so tired. You can't even pray at times. You want someone to pray for you. Encourage us, sir. Don't give up. It's your topic today. What are you saying to us? We are all ears.
That's true. For you know, we always have the proclivity to giving up. The inclination that comes our way is always giving up because we're not living in a perfect world. You know that's one thing to not bear in mind. We're living in a sinful world, in a world which is still full of discouragement. And if you realize the definition of salvation has three components, and one of them is God saving us from the presence of sin. If you Revelations, I think chapter 3, 4, 5, especially chapter 5, you'll get to realize that there'll be a time when we will be out of the presence of sin, which is our glorification. But this time around, we are still surrounded by sin. That's why some people still are jealous of you, Mpho. That's why some people still say bad things about us. That's why we're still living in a world full of hatred, bitterness, and all of that. Those vices, again, come to amplify and exemplify the very fact that we are not yet in our glorification. And so this paints a picture of where we are in our Joe spiritual state. But again, the good news is that there is another component of our salvation, which is our sanctification. And our sanctification is that Christ has given us the power to overcome sin, to overcome hatred, to overcome bitterness, to overcome jealousy, because these storms will always come your way, but you are more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. So I have a passage of reflection today which might also give us a little bit of context in what we'll be discussing. So if you have your Bibles, as usual, I love to always read scripture to give us context of our discussion. So if you have the Bibles with you, please get back to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1, 2, and 3. Just three verses today that might help us in our reflection and meditation. Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. It says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance, take note of the word perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Amen.
Isn't that what we are all longing for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we wouldn't grow weary and lose heart, nor faint in this race, this very race, Christian race, spiritual race, our race here on earth, that we would come moments when we wouldn't grow weary. But yet, we grow weary. You wouldn't even imagine that a great prophet in the Bible, Elijah, grew weary after his great taunt and exploit with the prophets of Baal. You wouldn't imagine that he got so discouraged in his Christian race that he even said, Lord, look, take me. I just can't bear this. Am I communicating somebody's heartbeat for what you're going through now by application? That you're going through a very tough time, that you're about throwing the towel, as we say in the metaphor, you're about giving up. You're about just saying, look, I can't continue. I can't continue in this marriage. I can't continue in my studies. I can't continue in this relationship. I can't continue in this church. I'm talking to somebody who might just be in contemplation, and you're passing through tough times in the church, and you're about giving up, leaving that church. But I've come to tell you, don't give up. I'm sharing on the subject today, don't give up. And if you really look at the context of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore. When you hear the word therefore in the Bible, it means you must always look at what comes before. You must always read the chapter that comes before the therefore. And the chapter that comes before the therefore is Hebrews 11.
Okay.
Hebrews 11 is very informative for us. The book of Hebrews is quite insightful, Paul, because this book is an authorless book, you know. It's an authorless book. I just could say God alone is the author of the book of Hebrews.
Yeah.
Because, you know, scholars have tried to ascribe the authorship to Paul. Some have even gone to Apollos, you know, Barnabas and Luke, but again, maybe the closest they come is Apostle Paul, but I say God is the author of this book because the book of Hebrews was written to encourage a discouraged believer. It was written to really encourage that person who is at the edge of their seat, who is really at a point of giving up. And if you read from chapter 1 to chapter 10, it celebrates the priesthood of Jesus Christ and calls us back to come back to true Christianity. And the vehicle for us to connect and plug back to God is our faith.
Yeah.
And that's why Hebrews 11 celebrates. It's a chapter of faith, you know, Paul. It's a chapter of faith.
Mm.
It celebrates and gives us a tapestry of about 18 great and simple small men and women of God who were able to champion the cause of their Christian life even through the vehicle of their faith. They were able to walk with God through their faith. You might think that Hebrews 11 is celebrating these individuals. No, Hebrews 11 has as common denominator God himself.
Yeah.
Because without God, you can't accomplish. Without God, faith is useless. Faith can only take its validity in the person of Christ Jesus.
Mm.
It can only take its validity in the person of Christ Jesus. And so let me give you a little bit of context because I want to share with you by my transitional question, how do you live in such a way that you don't give up? In this life when people seem not to like you, people seem to oppose you, fight you, circumstances, situations don't work out for your good. How do you live in such a way that you don't give up? And if you read Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, it gives us a little bit of a glimpse of the point which we might take today. I would say four things to remember. Write this down. there are four things you ought to remember when you read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
And those four things are going to inform your commitment, your faith in the journey not to give up. So if somebody is with me today, just highlight on four things to remember. The key word there is remember. So what's the first thing for you to remember according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1? The first thing to remember is to remember the great cloud of witnesses.
Okay.
The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and you'll realize, Paul, that the cloud of witnesses does not appear in Hebrews 12. The cloud of witnesses are already introduced in Hebrews 11. That's why Hebrews 11 is a flow into Hebrews 12. So you wouldn't understand Hebrews chapter 12 without going back to Hebrews chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
And chapter 11 highlights to us now the great cloud of witnesses.
Mm.
Therefore, we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. And these are great men, great women, about 18 of them listed here, who were able to champion the cause of walking with God even through their faith.
Okay.
I want to make a caveat here. I want to highlight a point here, Paul, for the fact that many people think that when we talk of the great cloud of witnesses, we are talking of those who have died, but they still have some connection with us because of the word cloud. You know, it has driven us in appetite interpretation and worship style to think that these are people who still have contacts with us. I want to give you a clear interpretation of that passage. The word cloud in the Greek is group. So a great group of witnesses.
Okay.
This by no means gives and should give us an interpretation that those who are dead are somewhere cheering us up, looking at us, and trying to communicate with us. This will not be the best interpretation, which means that they are distracted from their very focus of worshiping, celebrating the goodness of God in the absence of being with us. Because the Bible says to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. But what does this passage really say? This passage communicates to us that the witnesses, the word witness is a legal term, I mean the legal space, the witnesses means testifiers.
Mm.
The testimony of these men and women who have walked with the Lord in the Old Testament, who have traversed difficult times, that their testimony has been penned, ascribed in the Scripture. It is in Scripture. It has been scriptured. And we can see it in the summary of Hebrews 11.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that these people are talking to us in the physical and in the life, but it means that whatever they live their life for, that's for Christ, which is already penned down in Hebrews 11, speaks to us in our present life. Their lives still speak to us. The life of Abraham speaks to us. The life of Sarah, who had to wait upon the Lord for a child, speaks to us. The life of Gideon speaks to us. There are lives of people in the Bible who still speak to us, people who walked with the Lord. These are people, their testimony should remind us, and we should remember that if God was with Sarah, if God was with Abraham, if God was with Gideon, if God was with Rahab, God is still alive. The Bible says he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
So their faith journey, which has been spelled out, written down in Hebrews 11, speaks to us in our contemporary, in our present day-to-day situation.
Mm.
So remember the great cloud of witnesses.
Mm.
Remember the great group of witnesses whose testimonies have been put in Hebrews 11.
Mm.
And these testimonies speak to us in our current situation. The testimony of Sarah speaks to us. Hebrews 11:11, the Bible says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, taking out of the word past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, and for some of us, we are discouraged. Why do we want to give up? Because some of us have passed age.
Yeah.
You know, when we pass age, we are looking at the human clock. I'm talking to a woman now. You are looking at your human clock. You pass age of getting married, and you're getting discouraged and not knowing that this is human age. The clock that you're reading is the chronos. But God does not work based on our human clock. God works based on his kairos. God has an appointed time. There's a set time that God has for your life. So if you look at the doctor's report, you might get discouraged. But if you look at God, you'll get encouraged. We don't work based on facts.
Yeah.
The doctor's report is a fact, but we work based on faith.
Come on now.
And that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
People. We definitely don't discard the fact, because you need a medical doctors to give you an empirical medical test of what your diagnosis may be.
Yeah.
But faith goes beyond. Faith transcends the fact. Faith goes beyond the fact. And God works at the level of faith. Because you need a fact. You need a fact to confirm the miracle that operates in faith. I don't know if I can repeat that again. You need a medical fact so that God will operate his supernatural in the realm of faith. Because God does not confirm science. Science confirms God.
Come on now. Sure. Powerful.
You know, science comes to confirm the miracle.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. So all these people who are listed in Hebrews 11, are people who journeyed with God based on their faith. And can I stretch out this conversation to say there are still some people in our contemporaries that we can still remember. This list continues. I usually call it the list of Hebrews 2024. Hebrews 2024, it should be those who are still living their faith now, those who are still trusting God, who are still living like Sarah, like Abraham. And they have said that God who operated for Sarah is a God also of 2024. He can also work in my life.
Amen.
If he did it in the past, he can do it in my life. I'm telling you. You can still stand the grounds to say your children can still see that faith in your life. You know, your siblings can still see that faith in your life. I'm talking to a parent now. Your life might just be a living faith and miracle to your children. And please draw your children to Jesus. Don't live a life of giving up. Don't give up so easily, because your children are looking up to you. Your life might just be a mirror for their faith in the very future, near or distant. Number one, it was remember the great clouds of witnesses. I say there are four things. Number two, remember to throw off everything that hinders. The sin that so easily entangles. If you read further in Hebrews 1:2, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. So the second thing that you should remember while you're living on this earth so that you don't give up is remember to throw off everything that hinders you.
Yeah.
And there are some sins. Some sins that easily entangle us and slows down our pace towards achievement, towards success and victory. There are some things in your life you must remember to discard. And, you know, I was following Bishop Tony Evans, Dr. Tony Evans, and he was saying, yeah, the things that we have to let go in our lives, some of them are people.
Yeah, true.
There are some people we must remember that there are some people who seem to slow down our pace towards achievement. And if they stay around us, we get discouraged to the point of giving up.
Yeah.
So there are some difficult decisions that you ought to make around this very season. And this year, 2024. And that might be to go back to your checklist. Go back a little bit to that, your WhatsApp list, and make sure that there are some people that you have to drop from that list. Because these people don't add value to your life. These people lead you into sin. These people lead lead you into compromise.
Yeah.
And there are things in your life that you have to drop also, because these things add burden to your life. There are some worries, there are some anxieties that you have to let go, because these anxieties push you to depression and want to cause you to give up. That's number two. Remember number one, to remember the great class of witness. Number two, remember to throw off everything that hinders you, the sin that so easily entangles you. But number three, remember to run with perseverance.
Come on now.
Remember to run with perseverance. The race marked out before you. You know, the Bible tells us something in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 is quite instructive. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. But listen to this, verse 3. Not only so, we don't only boast in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. So I've come to tell somebody, you think that the Christian life is a bed of roses? No, sufferings also come the way of Christians. Challenges also come the way of Christians.
Sure.
If you start preaching the gospel that says, no, the Christian life is problem-free, struggle-free, suffering-free, look, that's not the gospel. The Bible says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But listen to this. Verse 3 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance. Another word for perseverance is endurance. The simplest word for perseverance is patience. So suffering produces perseverance. Patience. And patience produces character. And character produces hope. And verse 5 says, and hope does not disappoint, or hope does not put us to shame. So I've come to tell somebody, you might be passing through a tough time now, but God is using this time to produce perseverance in you, patience in you.
Amen.
And patience is a huge virtue for character formation. God has to produce the best character in you. There are certain promotions in your life and certain blessings that you cannot have till God creates the best character environment in you. And if you don't have that character quality, you will not be able to handle some amount of blessings that will come your way. So that patience will produce character, and character is going to produce hope, and hope will not disappoint. So I've come to tell a brother and a sister, you don't give up. You don't give up. You should be perseverant. You should be patient. In that patience, God is going to produce the best in you. The Bible says God tested Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 1. And I believe that God is testing some people now. What you're going through might just be a test. And Abraham passed the test. I pray that you pass your test, because God tests us to trust us.
Amen.
I pray that you pass the test even this season. Let me conclude. Let me conclude. Number one was, remember the good love of witnesses. Number two, remember to throw off everything that hinders you, the very things that hold you back and do not want you to achieve. Number three, remember to run
with perseverance.
With perseverance. I think you're teaching or preaching with me now. Number four, let's conclude. I believe this is a crescendo. This is a crescendo. And again, it's taken from our passage of scripture, that Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. Remember to fix your eyes on Jesus.
Fix your eyes on Jesus.
The pioneer and the perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
I've come to tell somebody, just like Charles Spurgeon would say. Charles Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. And he said, look, Jesus is bigger than the cloud of witnesses. Let your eyes be on Jesus. Lumpo, wasn't it Peter who was walking on water? He could walk on water, but his eyes were on Jesus. And the metaphor is that you can walk on water here on earth, if your eyes are on Jesus.
Sure.
We are all walking on water. You know, water is not a safe place in terms of what we see in the picture of what Peter was going through. But the truth about it is that we are living in a world which is not safe. It is full of insecurity. It is full of untrusted partners, friends, and everything. But let your eyes not be on the friends. Let your eyes not be on water. Let your eyes not be even on your job. Even let your eyes not even be in your church. Let your eyes be on Jesus. Because even in church, you might be disappointed. I've come to tell somebody, let your eyes be fixed on Jesus.
Yeah.
He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. Many people will let you down, but Jesus will not let you down. He said, I will be with you till the end of the ages. And I've come to encourage a brother and a sister who is about throwing a towel. You don't give up. Let your eyes be fixed on Jesus. From this April to the December of 2024, God has a plan for your life. Don't give up, my brother. Don't give up, my sister. I don't know why I'm saying this to you, but you don't give up because the best is ahead of you. And Jesus Christ should be the focus of your very existence, your very faith, and your very life. Let me pray for somebody. Father, I'm praying for my brother and my sister. They've come to the point of giving up. But Father, I know that you hold our hands, oh God. And you're telling us, though the journey might be difficult, might be very tumultuous, that you are with us, oh God. You are the fourth person in that fiery furnace. You are the one who shuts the mouth of the lion, even in the den where Daniel was put. And you are the one who calms the storms, even when the disciples thought their boats were sinking. I'm praying for somebody who thinks that their marriage boat is sinking now and they're about giving up. Father, strengthen them. Somebody who thinks that their finances are crumbling and they're about sinking. Father, strengthen them. Somebody who thinks that their health is sinking and that they're about giving up. Father, step in and calm the storm. Give them again great hope in you alone, in Christ alone. Our hope is found. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Julius. That was powerful. Don't give up. He is the fourth man in the fire. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the fourth man in the fire. Thank you so much. We appreciate you, my good sir, and enjoy the rest of your day.
God bless you. Keep
God bless you. And family, that was Dr. Julius Maggot Mbu speaking the issue of don't give up. We live in a world that's not perfect at all. There's a lot of discouragement, but he gave us four things to remember. Remember the great cloud of witness, a group of people with their testimonies. Number two, throw off everything that hinders. Number three, remember to run with perseverance. Scripture reference, Romans chapter 5. And also number four, lastly, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. This really speaks to me because he is the fourth man in the fire. We have news just now at 1 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion with myself, Mpho Moko, being your host, standing in for Madame Mpho Putini.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.